When you're running a retail model, there's a lot more overhead to run the model. So number one, you're paying everybody a draw, which I didn't particularly like. You have a ton of support staff from disclosures, processing, like this. So to me, like, overhead was a big deal. And also, I liked paying loan officers based upon their production and not having to build in a salary and health insurance and all these things. So that was a big deal. We were also, you know, with rates going up, you're getting shot more. We're losing deals almost every single week to rate pricing. So that was a big deal. And then just from an entrepreneur standpoint, I wanted to control my tax returns a little bit better. You know, when you're W-2'd and making, you know, $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is, like, you're paying so much taxes and there's so little creativity to bring those down because you're W-2. And to me, that was a big deal as well.
Welcome to the Build a Broker podcast. Each episode, you'll hear the journey of newly minted mortgage brokers from concept to first closed loan on their road to success.
Aim high with Rocket Pro TPO. Their people-first approach offers unmatched support for mortgage professionals. Whether you're looking to boost productivity with their top-notch broker platform and stellar training, or are dreaming of becoming an independent mortgage broker, they've got your back every step of the way. Visit rocketprotpo.com/NMP today to get started. Equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
One of the cool things about having Rocket Pro TPO as a sponsor, well, they give us access to their top brokers, many of which who got started as MLOs working for Rocket's retail division. So our first guest, Nick Grobnagger, he learned the art of the phones, closing 70 loans a month at Rocket. And he took what he learned, applied those skills for his own broker shop that he started with his cousin, Reggie Green. By the way, who brought Nick into the business many, many years ago. So stick around after Nick's story. You're going to hear Reggie's story later on this episode. I think you're going to enjoy this. And then the next episode, we're going to hear the two of them together, talking about, why they did this. So in this episode, you're going to hear, how Nick got to pay off his student loans using the mortgage business, how he later fell in love with the business beyond just the money that he was first attracted to this for. And you'll hear his strategy on how he became a top MLO, working the phones at Rocket. And then we're going to go hear Reggie's story. All right, Nick, thank you so much for joining us on the Build a Broker podcast. So I'm excited to ask you a lot of things. I want to get into your history. I want to talk about, how you got pulled into the business. You'll ask the audience will appreciate how your partner now pulled you into the business. We'll talk a little bit about that, but let's okay. Get into the how you got into the business. So, I mean, listen, you didn't go to school for mortgages. You were involved in a handful of sales jobs. It seems that your cousin Reggie recruited you into the business. Talk a little bit about how that went down.
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So I graduated from college back in 2004 from Michigan State. And I don't know if you remember the Detroit economy in the early 2000s, such a state wasn't the best. And I could not find a job in Detroit, Michigan. So my cousin lived out in Arizona and he had just gotten into the mortgage business, probably about 6 months to a year before I graduated from college. And I was looking for a job and he's like, well, hey, I just got into the mortgage business. It's fantastic. I love it. I can get you a job. You just have to move out to Arizona. And so I came out here for a long weekend and I was like, this is amazing. So yeah, I literally packed up my car, drove out, been out here since 2005 and been doing mortgages ever since.
What time of year was that?
October. And I remember because the first weekend I was down here was Halloween. And I just remember when I was a kid, I'd go trick-or-treating with my family. And we'd have the leaves on the ground or sometimes there'd be snow. And we'd be trucking around getting Halloween candy. And I came out here and it's 80 degrees and sunny and, we're going out. So, quite a bit different.
Going trick-or-treating with a Halloween costume and a winter jacket just stinks. It's not nearly as
Yeah, right? Yeah, hides the costume. You don't even know what people are.
All right, so you go out to Arizona, and what was your first job in the mortgage business?
He got me into where he was working. It was like a small little we're selling 10, 12, 13%, 3-year ARM, subprime mortgages is what it was when that was hot way back in the early 2000s. So we did that, learned the business, but kind of not because it was just such a unique product, that we had. But it was mostly 2 and 3-year ARMs with 2 or 3-year prepaids. Not the greatest of loans. I mean, definitely for the people really needed help type thing. But that's where I got my my wings, I guess.
Was there a point where you realized, hey, I really like this business? Is there a point where you said, right, Nick, something? I think we found our calling here.
Yeah, I think I had been doing it for about a year or two, and I was very ho-hum on it, if that makes sense. And then I remember I had my first good month, and because I came out of college, I had a ton of student loans. So my whole goal was get these student loans paid off as soon as possible. And I made a really big commission check, and I paid, I think it was $15,000 or $20,000 towards the student loans. I was oh my gosh, if I actually just stick with it and I get really good at it, then this could literally be life-changing. I could get my student loans paid off, so on and so forth. So I think it was that little glimmer of success that I was okay, I can do this. And sometimes you just need that little ounce that just gives you that glimmer of hope that once you get that, then you're good to go. So,
yeah, but something, here's the thing, this you're talking, this is 2005. So 2005, the money's great. And don't get me wrong. I can imagine the subprime paychecks you were getting back then, but you don't stay in the industry 20 years or almost 20 years unless you really love it. So was there a point where you saw an opportunity to have an impact or just you realized actually that there is a greater purpose for you here than just, making big paychecks?
Yeah, so the subprime things started falling apart, and that's just kind of how I got into the business. But there was part of me that was the loans are a little bit, not the highest quality. It's I kind of wanted a little bit more, and I wanted to kind of go get more of a career, if that makes sense. So in 2009, I went over to Rocket Mortgage, on the retail side. So I did that for a while up until 2022, but I just kind of felt I kind of got to a point in 2009, I'm not really a kid anymore. I'm getting a little bit older. So I wanted to kind of get more of a career going. So I went over there because I wanted the stability with, the 401k and, the base salary, with commissions, a little bit higher quality of loan products and clients and so on and so forth. So that was part of the reason why I went over there, was just because I wanted something a little bit more career wise, if that makes sense.
So you went that direction. What did Reggie do?
He did the broker thing. He did a little bit of broker, a little bit of retail. He did purchases and refinances. So we kind of when the whole subprime thing happened in 08 and 09, or when the whole meltdown started happening in 08 and 09, that's kind of where we'd been working together for 5 years. And then I went this way, he went that way. So I was at Rocket Retail for 13 years, and he did the broker thing, and he was a branch manager at a company. So we kind of divvied off. And it was kind of always our dream to eventually work our way back together.
All right. So, and of course, part two, we will go into that. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a future episode of Build a Broker. But let's talk about your time at Rocket, because you killed it there. You killed it there. I remember, you and I were talking about this. I think some months you said you were cranking out 70 loans a month, right?
Yeah. And on the retail side, doing primarily refinances. We didn't do second mortgage on the retail side. So just cash out refinances, rate term refinances, streamlines, VAs, FHAs. So just kind of cookie cutter loans.
What made you number one? So you were number one at refi, at refis, they're how did, because you have some amazing people that you're fighting against, like Rocket hires, some great originators. Develop some great originators in addition and a higher grade originators. How did you actually, hit number one at Rocket?
I think it really comes down to, at the end of the day, just your drive and your inner will to want to succeed. Because, I mean, I would tell people this all the time. Like, people are like, you know, you're so good on the phone. But, like, I could name off a ton of people that were better on the phones than me, like, better salespeople than me. But, like, I was willing to do what it would take. Like, I would work till sometimes 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. And I would work Saturdays and Sundays, then on the weekends. And when everyone else is off for that, you know, Friday, like, I would work that day. So it's like, I was just willing to do what other people weren't willing to do. And yeah, I mean, I was good at sales and stuff like that, but there was definitely people that were better than me. But it's the combination. Like, you can't make somebody want it, if that makes sense. It's either they got that inner fire and that's kind of lit, or it's not. So I think I just had a good combination of, I did have good sales skills. I was very knowledgeable about, like, the products. They're very empathetic, and I can connect with clients really good on the phone. But above all else, it's the drive. Am I willing to put in the effort? Am I willing to take advantage of the opportunity? So,
well, that's fantastic. That's, I mean, obviously, there is just this innate ability that you're born with, and the drive. But there are certain things you could learn. There are certain things you can't learn. Like, so, what do you think, actually, you know, from your career, that things that you weren't, that weren't just qualities or talents you were born with, but things that you learned, you know, whether it's, you know, your experience, you know, when you first got in the mortgage business, or during your time at Rocket?
That's a good one right there. Something that I learned that helped me with the business, just in general.
That you learned that's teachable thing that maybe, you know, you've now that you have green home loans, you've passed on to other originators that work for you.
Yeah, so this is more of like a sales skill, but I think this really applies to everybody. And I was also a director when I was at Rocket for a while, and I would constantly listen to phone calls all day long. And what I found is that a majority of the loan officers will do about 80% of the speaking on a phone call. And it shouldn't be that way. Like, it should be a conversation. It shouldn't be a lecture. Like, I remember when I was in college, we'd have these, like, big lectures where there'd be like 600 people, and there's just one professor up there talking for 90 minutes, and I'm bored out of my mind. So that's a lecture. And I hear, like, loan officers talking to a client, they'll have a 30-minute phone call, and I know every single thing that the loan officer said, and I'd have no idea what the client said, because they were speaking 90% of the time and the client was speaking 10. So I think that's one thing I learned, like, very early on, is, like, the client should be speaking 50-50, if not more than you are. And if you're in a spot where you're doing all the talking, like, you're not in a good spot. Like, you're not uncovering what the client's two goals are. You're not listening to them. You're just waiting to get the next word in that drives. And, like, that's never good.
No way. So selling's not telling. You know, it's as old school as you can get there. So, so Nick, I mean, like what is there like a formula? Like, is it like, you know, you should be talking 20% of the 25% of the time? Is it like, you know, is there any like thing that you kind of keep in mind? I mean, I realize this is probably just like a natural thing that just comes and you don't even actually have to think about it. But like, if you're trying to train an originator to shut the F up and listen more, which, by the way, I have that. My daughter's got that on a suit. They got me a custom suit. Shut the F up, just because, to remind me to be quiet and listen more. So that being said, what percentage of the time, if you're talking to an originator, say, like, you know, is it 20% of the time you should be, you know, not talking? What does that look like?
In a perfect world, it's 50-50, right? Because if you start tipping one way or another, then you run into issues. Like, if I'm talking the whole time, then the client doesn't feel like they're being heard. Or I'm just asking questions and I'm drilling them, and then they can get uncomfortable. But then if they have a complete control of the call, then, like, I'm not getting the questions that I need answered. And that client kind of drags it out to wherever they want to drag it out to, which isn't good either. So it's got to be 50-50. Here's another thing. This may be like an easier thing to do, but most, like, let's just say you're having a first call with a client. Those calls should generally be 20, maybe 30 minutes max. If it's over 30 minutes, it's overkill. Wow. Like, the client's getting bored. You're getting bored. Like, it can't go over 30 minutes at the absolute max. If it's like a 10-minute first call, then you're not getting enough information and you're not building that rapport connectivity that you need with the client. With that being said, though, and this is something I've said forever, and this is an easy thing to do, but 5 minutes on every phone call should be talked about something other than a mortgage. Wow. Okay. So you could talk to the client about sports or the weather or their kids or animals or whatever it is. And if you're not making yourself human and you're not talking about something other than a mortgage, like that's so boring. Like no one wants to talk about rates and closing costs and fees. Like that's so, so surface level. Like it's just not good. You can't do that. So 5 minutes on every call. And then what I also say on that is like, you don't just have to go on like a 5 minute tangent about something, but maybe there's like a minute here about the weather. And then there's a minute here about their kids. And then there's a couple of minutes about dogs, but like, cumulatively, it's got to be 5 minutes. And if you could do that, then you're a human to that person. You're not a customer service rep.
I mean, that's got to be difficult when you're closing 70 loans a month to have those 5 minute conversations. But that's great. Now, so now when you were at Rocket, I'm assuming most of this was not self gen. These are kind of leads that came to you, right? So you're just one of many people those borrowers are talking to. So that having that connection is key. And maybe you're the lowest rate, maybe you're not the lowest rate, but if you could have that connection, I'm assuming that's going to trump, you know, whether you're an eighth of a point from the lowest rate or not.
Yeah, because I mean, people do business with people that they like, right? So if I can get them to like me, then they'll buy from me. Because I've said this as well. The kiss of death, and this is the worst thing you could possibly do as a loan originator, is tell someone that they qualify and have them not like you. What happens? What happens 100% of the time when you tell someone, hey, man, you qualify. You qualify the best of the best. You have no problem getting qualified. But you're just a customer service rep. You brought no value to them. They don't know anything about you, whether you're married, you have kids, nothing like that. Your customer service up on the phone. They're going to go somewhere else and they're going to do a loan with someone that they like. That's the worst thing you could do is tell someone that they qualify and have them not like you.
Great. It's
that simple. Great.
It's like, listen, you want to be friends with your clients. You know, you want your clients to have know a little bit about you and you know about them, you know, and have conversations. Now,
isn't that what makes it fun? Like, that's the fun part of the job.
100%. You get to create 70 new friendships a month, you know? And why would you not want to be friends with the person that you're helping build wealth? I mean, you're instantly their close friend because of what you're doing for them.
Yeah. I mean, I would get asked a lot this, like sometimes, you know, you would connect with a client pretty good and they'd be like, oh, how do you like your job? I'm like, I have like the best job in the world. Like I sit at a desk, like I'm not outside doing manual labor. I was licensed out in like 35 states or something. And I go like, I get to talk to people from Maine to Alaska, to Hawaii, to Florida, get that, like help out people, give them some financial advice. And if I can help them put them in a better spot, great. If I can't, then I'll let them know that. But like, what better job do you have other than helping out somebody and talking to someone about what's going on in Maine? So, like, that's fun, right? Like,
that's great. So,
yeah.
So, Nick, I mean, you've been basically since 2005 when you got into the business, you've always worked for mortgage bankers. So what led to the change to say, hey, listen, I want to get into the broker world? I mean, you work for the biggest retail, you know, operation in the country. But you know, what said, all right, let's go create this green home loans thing.
Yeah. So like when my cousin got me into the business and we were working side by side for, you know, the first few years, we're like, wouldn't it really be cool if we could like open up something someday? And then I went my way, he went his way. And then things were so good. And then when things started to slow down, like a couple years ago, we're like, if there's ever a time to do it, now's the time. Right. You know, it's hard, like when everyone's making money and everyone's so successful. So it's like, you know what, if we can make it work when it's a little bit more difficult, like right now, these last couple of years, if we can make it work now, then what about when things really get good? Like, let's work out the kinks when things are a little bit slower. Right. But I think a lot of it's just, you want to build something new. Like when I was at Rocket, like, and I was doing so many loans, it just got so easy for me that it just wasn't challenging anymore. I still enjoyed it, but it was just, I figured it out. It made sense. It was easy. Like I had a system down and I was just like ready for a new challenge. And I think just me wanting to do something different, more of a challenge. And it's just been something we talked about forever. It was just the right time.
And is there anything in particular about the mortgage broker model? I mean, because listen, you could have said, hey, listen, we're going to buy a mortgage bank. We're going to open up a branch and have your own branch for a different mortgage bank. But like, you know, you picked to be a mortgage broker. So what about the mortgage broker model did you like and said, all right, this is what we're going to do?
I think the thing that was kind of drew us towards this model was just the amount of flexibility that you have in like products and pricing and options. I mean, the broker side is so great because like if you're doing retail and you're just doing FHA, VA, conventional, like you're kind of limited and like you're always turning down loans for, you know, because of this overlay that you have or this overlay, or we don't do second mortgages or HELOCs. And it's like now you're not turning down any client. If a client really wants to purchase or someone really wants to refinance, you can probably find a lender out there that's going to be able to suit that, which is fantastic, which is something we never had. So I think just the amount of options that you have is absolutely fantastic.
And listen, Nick, I can't wait till our next episode. We're going to get into Reggie's story. And then we're gonna have the two of you guys together, talk a little bit about, the process when you guys actually finally said, all right, let's do this. We'll talk all about that. But, Nick, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Do you want to own your future? Be empowered on your journey to becoming an independent mortgage broker with Rocket Pro TPO. With Rocket, you're not just getting guidance, you're gaining a real partner in your success story. You'll feel their genuine care and appreciate their personalized service as you take this significant step forward in your career. Plus, their nearly four decades of industry expertise make them an unbeatable choice. Visit rocketprotpo.com/NMP today to get started. Equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
Okay, so that was Nick. Now on to Nick's cousin, Reggie. The reason why we're even here, because Reggie is the one that pulled Nick into the business. So Reggie, he was working in the hot Phoenix sun, wearing a suit, renting cars. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine how difficult that's got to be. So got a chance to get into the mortgage business immediately. You know, was making some great money. I mean, subprime days, you know how that goes. And was having fun. He really, really enjoyed the business. But he later transformed that into this referral based business, which is really what Green Home Loans is based around. So we're gonna hear, how Reggie got into the business. We're gonna hear how we first started winning in the business, and how we turned it into a career. We're also gonna get to hear Reggie's script on how he wins business with real estate agents. All right, here we are for another Build a Broker podcast. So you heard in our last episode, we had the other half of Green Home Loans. And joining us today, we have Reggie Green, who is the person responsible for dragging Nick into the mortgage business. Reggie, thank you for joining us here today.
Thanks so much for having me, Andrew. I appreciate it.
So, before we go, and we're going to talk in our next episode, we're going to talk a little bit about the partnership, a little bit about, you and Nick. I want to focus right now just on your career. Talk about, so you got started in the business at a legendary, non-conforming, I'm going to say the S word, subprime shop. Talk to us, like, how did you get sucked into this business?
So I was working at Enterprise Rent-A-Car right after college, and I was just looking for something better because I hated washing cars in Phoenix. It's hot as hell out, and you're in a suit all day. So I was just on Career Builder, and they had Monster back then, and I just applied for a job, ended up getting the job, and the rest is history.
So, I mean, was there an extensive application process? Because, I mean, here, like at that point, and I'm, you know, your qualifications, your previous work, you know, you're washing cars in a suit in the hot Phoenix sun. So what's the qualifications? Okay, he's got a pulse. He doesn't have a criminal record. Let's hire him.
Yeah, I think that was it, because they would weed you out real quick, you know, because you had to be on the phones like 5-6 hours a day. So if you weren't working out, they would hit you out. So you do a quick interview process. They want to make sure they like your energy and coachability. And from there on, hey, we're going to get started in here in 2 weeks and be ready to roll. And that was it.
So where was the point in your career where you were like, oh, this is me? Like, I found my calling.
Well, the first 3 months, I was like in my mid-20s, and I didn't really take it too seriously. And then I ended up closing like $10,000. I made $10,000 in 1 month. And like, to me, like, that was mind-blowing. Like, and it was almost by accident. It just kind of happened. And I was like, oh, I like this. And that was it for me. Because, you know, when you're used to not having any money and you get $10,000, you're walking around Scottsdale clubs like you're a millionaire. And I was just hooked. I'm like, I like this.
That's so awesome. So, how old were you exactly when you had your first $10,000 a month?
24.
24 years old, $10,000 a month. That's huge, you know. And that's, you know, yeah. That's, and so just put into perspective, that was, I guess, the 2000s, early 2000s.
2004.
Yeah, so 2004. So, like, yeah, this is when like $10,000 was a lot of money, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
so that's sure. That's pretty awesome. So now, was there a point where you were just like, okay, there's more to this than just, okay, a good paycheck, where you realize you were connected? Because listen, you've been through some really not great times. Like, there's, well, I know you have actually done an amazing job, you know, with your career, but there have, I mean, you had to survive the great financial crisis, and that means, you know, yeah, during that time, you know, a lot of originators were doing no business, and especially if you pivoted from, you know, subprime, you know, to doing other stuff, you know, that was tough. So like, where was the point in your career where you're like, oh, you know something, I found my calling, and it's not just about the money?
For me, it was all about the culture. So one of my good friends, still a friend to this day, his name's Nate Sanders. When we came in, we had fun, you know, like, it wasn't like work. We were there 10 hours a day. We had rap music blaring, and we were just having a lot of fun, because, you know, in sales, you're rejected the majority of the time. I don't care how good you are. So to me, it was just like hanging out with my friends. And then as a byproduct, we were all really making a lot of money. So to me, it was just a lot of fun. And that's really what drew me.
So you rejected, pretty often. I mean, and so how does that, so it's interesting about it. My conversation with Nick, and, you know, like, I don't want to, we're going to focus a lot more on the partnership between you guys, but he said something that's very telling, that's, you know, kind of almost, it has me curious. How do you deal with this? Cause I'm assuming you probably have somewhat similar selling styles. There's something in, and one of the things that Nick has talked about is he creates like a friendship, in a short amount of time, he's creating a friendship, finding some common ground, something I think is genuinely interested about the person. So when you're getting rejected all the time, when you're putting yourself out there and having that, like, those mini micro friendships, you know, does that hurt? I mean, like, what does that feel like?
Well, the rejection for me, like, we were calling, like, you know, like credit profile leads. So a lot of these people were cold calls. So if you're doing a lot of cold calls, you're going to get rejected. And I think the key to that is having good energy and having people around you that are having fun, because they're getting rejected too. And you're just having fun with it. And then when you actually get someone on the phone and you get past that initial 30 seconds and there's actual interest, then it's just like, me and Nick always talk about this. We're not really good at selling. Like, it'd be hard for me to sell Lamborghinis because it's not something people really need. But when you're in mortgages, you're selling, you're either lowering their payment on a refinance, getting them cash out that they've already decided they wanted, or you're helping them purchase. So for me, it's just really understanding their goals, what they're looking for, and then trying to deliver the best we can with what they're looking for. So we have slightly different styles, but I'm just really asking a lot of questions, and really trying to just deliver what they want.
Well, that's awesome. So, when was the last time you've been on the phone? I know. So you've obviously switched from full-time originating, to managing the company. But when was the last time you've actually, even just for a proof of concept to your originators, where you've called leads, and are you having your team still do credit profile leads?
No. That's a long time ago. But I actually called yesterday. So we had a new loan officer in, and he, what we always talk about is you got to get through the mud to have like the good career. And he's just starting off. And what we decided to do is he's going to start calling 15 realtors a week. And basically what he's going to do is he's going to identify open houses in the neighborhood, see if we can work the open house with the agent, provide marketing, maybe call the neighborhood or text the neighborhood around the open house. So I actually was calling agents with them and showing them what to do yesterday.
All right. So Reggie, I'm putting you on the spot here. Can you simulate a call for me? Like what's that?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So I'm a real estate agent. I answer the phone. Yeah. Who's this? Yeah.
Andrew, what's going on? It's Reggie Green at Green Home Loans. Hey, I was giving you a call. I see that you have an open house here on Zelda Lane coming up this weekend. And we're really trying to work some open houses with some agents this weekend. Just wanted to touch base, see if you might want us to sit it with you.
Well, the house is pretty legendary. What do you mean sit with me? I'm busy. I've got an originator I work with already. He's a great guy. Yeah. He's married to my sister. Why should I let him with it?
Well, we work with a lot of agents with open houses. So if you have clients that come through the open house, first thing, if there's a bunch of people in there, we can kind of help the traffic. If they have any lending questions, we can help with that. We also put together marketing for you with particular loan options that are pertinent to that house and that purchase price. We can post it on social media. And the other thing we do, like, we're really about being active partners in your business and not just asking you to send us deals, but working with you to get deals. So another thing we can do is we can get the data from title company around your open house and maybe call the neighbors or text the neighbors and just say, hey, we're having an open house at your neighbor's house this weekend. We'd love for you to come.
Ladies and gentlemen, that script like that is what gets Reggie's like hundreds of loans a year. I mean, I know this is the last normal year, we had 2019. You put up over 200 units.
I haven't done loans in my own name in a long time. Yeah. So what I did is I would build realtor relationships and we would give them to people on our team. And we're actually going to close, I think, 170 million. And I just decided in the middle of the year, I was going to stop putting them in my name, kind of as to show my team that it wasn't about me. It was about us. So you're never going to see a ton of production in my name after a certain period of time, because that's just not how we start.
Fantastic, man. That's awesome, man. I appreciate the insights. Phones still work. It's just, it's amazing. People just don't understand, especially with real estate agents. Like, real estate agents still live and die by their phone. And social media is great. Like, you can't not do social media, but the phone, the power of this little device that we hold in our hands is just still, makes millionaires in our industries today. So lots of different business models. You've been involved in, mortgage bankers. I know you were, big distributed retail for a while. What made, what led to the decision saying, hey, listen, we're going to go and become mortgage brokers? Like, why the mortgage broker model?
Yeah, there's probably about three or four things. So what happened, this came about fairly quickly. So in January of 2023, we ended up losing about 55 grand in a P&L. And, looking at the numbers, there was a number of things. When you're running a retail model, there's a lot more overhead to run the model. So number one, you're paying everybody a draw, which I didn't particularly like. You have a ton of support staff from disclosures, processing, things like this. So to me, like, overhead was a big deal. And also, I liked paying loan officers based upon their production and not having to build in a salary and health insurance and all these things. So that was a big deal. We were also, with rates going up, you're getting shot more. We're losing deals almost every single week to rate pricing. So that was a big deal. And then just from an entrepreneur standpoint, I wanted to control my tax returns a little bit better. When you're W-2'd and making, $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is, like, you're paying so much taxes and there's so little creativity to bring those down because you're W-2. And to me, that was a big deal as well.
Yep. That's huge, huge impact though, to a lot of brokers. And that in itself is a game changer. So very cool, man. Well, listen, I appreciate the time. I'm really, really excited. Our next episode, we are going to get into it with Nick and Reggie, talk a little bit about, how they set up, Green Home Loans, what some of their challenges were, what some of the things that they wish they knew before they started setting this up. So, Reggie, thank you so much for joining us today. We really, really appreciate your time.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Connect with the mortgage experts and elevate your professional journey. Visit rocketprotpo.com/NMP today. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Okay, I wasn't sure how this was going to work, you know, having two stories, but I think it worked out pretty good. But wait till you hear the next episode. We're going to hear the two of them together, you know, how well they work together, and just a little bit about setting up the business. I think you're going to love it. Reggie, Nick, thank you guys for joining us. And Nick, thanks for inspiring this idea to cover partners. All right, everyone, I'm Andrew Berman. Thank you for joining us.